House Bill 1113, an act to require the Department of Corrections to seek membership in the Performance-Based Standards Project.
House Bill 1113 has had its second reading and is up for final consideration. Are there any remarks?
Madam President.
Senator Dugard.
Thank you, Madam President. Ladies and gentlemen, for several years we've considered bills that would require the Department of Corrections to seek accreditation for juvenile corrections facilities. In the first session following Gina Scora's death, the Department of Corrections opposed accreditation, saying we didn't know what it would entail, we didn't know what it would cost. So the bill which would have required accreditation was defeated, and instead we passed a bill which required the Department of Corrections to report at the end of the next year to the Government Operations and Audit Committee and report their findings concerning the costs and benefits of accreditation. That report was made nearly a year later, and the Department of Corrections recommended against accreditation. They cited the costs which might be required. The Government Operations and Audit Committee did not accept this report and in fact recommended unanimously that accreditation be required. In last year's session, that bill was supported by a majority of this body, but it failed because it contained an appropriation and a two-thirds vote was needed. We were just two votes short of that two-thirds vote. I was strongly in favor of that bill and I felt the costs were justified. Now, I won't go into great detail about the accreditation process, but suffice it to say that hospitals, schools, and many other institutions are accredited. The process for corrections is much the same. Would you go to a hospital that had not been accredited, one that had no outside review? Would you accept financial statements that had not been audited, no outside review? Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's about what we have for a system of juvenile corrections in this state. Now, as it happens, I don't think that the system is as bad as we may hear from some. People get the impression that things are worse than they really are.
Yeah.
But really, how does one know? I have visited many of the corrections facilities, and I'm sure most of you have. We're there for a day. What questions can we ask? What observations can we make? We just don't know. The Department of Corrections explained that accreditation by the Americans Corrections Association was too expensive and cumbersome. So they have embarked on a system of self-improvement that is called performance-based standards. This system is approved and fully funded by the United States Department of Justice. The system is about 5 years old and operates under the auspices of a group called the Council of Juvenile Correctional Administrators. They have a manual which I have been given and which I've read, and they have set standards in such areas as safety, order, maintenance of order, security, programming, health, including mental health, and justice. Under this system, the standard is identified, a goal is set, a performance standard is written, an outcome measurement is identified, the expected practice is put in policy, and the process is begun. Now, in the beginning, our juvenile corrections facilities were visited by an assessor from the outside who came to the site and did an on-site assessment. Then every 6 months, measurements are compiled of the progress made and the continued success in following the policies. Let me give you an example. One measurement is the number of suicide attempts resulting in injury per 100 person days. At our boot camp, at the Brady boot camp, measurement was made of this outcome. How many suicide attempts did we have in which resulted in injury per 100 person days? That measurement was reported, and then 96 other facilities around the country in 27 states and also additionally the District of Columbia all reported that same statistic. And then we got back in South Dakota a chart, and it showed what was our number and what was the average number, and how we compared to the average. Now, in this chart, which we saw in Judiciary Committee, we're actually better than the average, doing well. But how do we know that unless we compare against an average? We don't know. This is a system that lets us know. If, on the other hand, we're worse than the average, let's say, and not doing as well as we'd like to do, this system provides recommendations that we can follow, procedures that we can adopt. And then, following those procedures, we can try to improve, and 6 months later, another measurement. So it's a system that every 6 months takes a look at statistics and measurements that are collected on an ongoing basis, and every 6 months, a report comes out and compares us in all these outcome measurements. Now, we don't have to choose to try and improve in every one of them every time, but we can choose which ones we want to work on, follow some procedures that are designed to help us improve, and then see how we've done 6 months later. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a good system, and they're already doing it. The Department of Corrections needs to be commended for their efforts. So then, if it's a good system and it's fully funded and the standards are accepted, why do we need this bill? Because a year from now, we'll have a different governor. We may have a different Secretary of Corrections. We may have different people with different attitudes about how much work this is and whether it's worthwhile. Well, we should set that policy. We should make that decision. We are the policy-making body for this state. And so this bill requires that the Department of Corrections continue this process. Under our system of government, there are three branches. The legislature makes the laws, the executive branch enforces the laws, and the judiciary interprets the laws. That's the way it's supposed to work. And with this bill, that's the way it will work. All this bill does is put in statute what is already happening in order to see that it continues. Now, let me just review the sections quickly. Section 1 requires that the Department of Corrections seek admission to the program, and they've already done that. Section 2 requires that they follow the designated program, and they're already doing that. Section 3 states that if they need more funding, and if federal funds are available, and this is an ongoing thing that the Department of Justice has continued to fund, we can apply for those funds, and then we can ask the Interim Appropriations Committee, if we're in between session, to approve the expenditure of those funds. Section 4 requires that they assign at least one person to be in charge, and they've done that in each facility to see that the programs and policies are written and followed. Section 5 requires that no child in the custody of the state be held in any place that is not following these standards or other similar accreditation standards. And I have an amendment which has been distributed to revise this section in part.
Motion.
Senator Dennert moves that House Bill 1113 be amended as follows.
And I would waive reading of the motion.
Does any member object to the waiving of the reading? Is there a second? Remarks on the Dugart motion.
Thank you, Madam President. And as you can see, the amendment will confine the application of this section to children that are in the Department of Corrections custody, not anyone in the custody of the state at all, but children who are in the Department of Corrections custody and those which participate in juvenile corrections programs. Section 6 is important. It requires an annual report to the governor and to the legislature, which is already planned. So that's the bill in a nutshell. As the lawmakers of this state, we need to know that our departments are functioning properly. The governor needs the assurance that his employees are properly trained and functioning according to the written policies. Employees need to have written policies and good training and practices and outcome measurements so they know what's expected of them and how to do the work. We need to be able to separate the fiction, which we may hear, from the fact, which this will give us. The problem about how things are working in our juvenile corrections facilities and the suspicion about whether things are going well or not has gone on too long. We've spent untold millions on the solutions. In fact, if you think about it, we only have a couple of ways in which the system has been measured, and those ways were called lawsuits. And we got an F. This is a new system, one that the Department of Corrections itself chose, and which is a good system. All this does is require that this be continued and that system be followed for the foreseeable future, and I urge your support of the amendment and the bill. Thank you.
Further remarks on the Dugart motion? Hearing none, the question before the Senate is the Dugart motion to amend House Bill 1113. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries. Further remarks on House Bill 1113 as amended? Senator Koskin.
Thank you, Madam President. Members of the Senate, I'm going to ask you just to think about the direction we're going with this bill and think if this is the answer. It was stated by Senator Dugard that we were tested and we failed that test, but this isn't any exact assurance that we are going to get a higher grade in the future. That had to do with a certain individuals in that case, and the state was involved in that, of course, in our procedures. But to the credit of the Secretary and the members, Doug Herman and that group in corrections, they have had main changes. And it's been successful in that respect, as this body has reacted. We've called them on the carpet, and we've asked to make changes, and they have made changes. The concern I have about this particular bill is we're going to start mandating on ourselves requirements that we have no control over. We successfully, again, have mandated things from corrections. We're going to put this to a body that we have no control over. We don't know if they're going to be here. We, you know, the particular board, this performance-based standards project, we have no guarantee they're going to be here in 5 years or 10 years, and then the statute would still be in place that we may be under some other accreditation, and maybe the American Corrections Association, which is a huge, huge book that we would have to fall under the standards. So I'm not opposed to meeting these requirements, and we're doing that now, but the problem, my objection to the bill is we're going to place ourselves under that other outside authority. You know, we have 50 independent laboratories in the United States. They're called states. And we try some different things. One of those has been our boot camp. And to me, it has been tremendously successful, or it is successful. If you haven't visited the boot camp, I would urge you strongly to do that. I came away there with a great admiration of the correction system and the job they're doing out there. The counselors are doing the work. The number of counselors are there. It's not just a lockup program. It's a true counseling program, and I was truly impressed. If we get into this type of oversight, would we have the courage to step out and try something new that might work? And that's my reluctance to adopt something like this. We may be limiting our creative juices to try something new. So for that reason, I just ask you to consider before you vote on the bill some of the long-term consequences that we didn't really intend. Thank you.
Further remarks?
Madam President.
Senator Cleven.
Thank you. Yes, I would, Madam President and members of the Senate, I certainly would like to urge that you give this favorable consideration. We did go through this whole process last year in an attempt to get into the accreditation process. And this is a little different animal this year. And it is something that the department has accepted themselves, something they are doing. And they are doing an excellent job. I've visited all of their facilities and especially spent considerable time in the Custer facility. But the point I would like to make is that this is an operation that is using about $21.25 million of our funds. And we're dealing with those people who are underage, and their parents are very concerned about them, as are we. And this gives us some degree of accountability, I believe, and also it isn't always easy to get those reports in a timely manner, in a timely basis. So this does set into action some way to be sure that we do get reports on what's happening. And I do believe it's a very good measure. It's much less than we intended a year ago, and it's something they've already accepted and put into practice themselves. So I think that certainly we should continue forth and bring this to fruition. Thank you.
Further remarks? Hearing none, the question before the Senate is final consideration of House Bill 1113 as amended. As your name is called, those in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Albers?
Aye.
APA?
No.
Bogue?
Aye.
Rose?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Craddock?
Aye.
Dugard?
Aye.
DeHuick?
Aye.
Dennard?
Aye.
Dietrich Larry?
No.
Dietrich Elmer? Drake?
No.
Duxbury?
Aye.
Everest?
Aye.
Greenfield?
No.
Hagen?
Aye.
Ham?
Aye.
Hubmacher?
Aye.
Cleven?
Aye.
Hetzel.
Aye.
Koskin.
No.
Madden.
Aye.
McCracken.
Aye.
McIntyre.
Aye.
Moore.
Aye.
Munson.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Putnam.
Aye.
Reedy.
Aye.
Staggers.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Simmons.
Aye.
Bitter.
No.
Valesky.
Aye.
Whiting.
Aye.
Senator Boag.
No.
Madam President, ayes, 28, nays, 7.
The motion has received a majority vote of the members-elect and is declared passed as amended. Questions on the title? Hearing none, the title is deemed correct.